Thanks for letting us come and worship with you folks this morning. I didn't know I was speaking till today. Just kidding. I'm just kidding, Carol. She's going to be mad at me. Yeah, it's really great to be up here. And why don't we pray, and then I'll just share a little bit with you guys. Father, we thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for what you have done already, what you are doing in our lives, what you're doing here this morning in this church, God. Lord, I pray that what happens here this morning just falls right in line with what you have in store for these people and for us, for me. Father, I just pray that you would speak to us through the words that are spoken this morning, Lord. And that whether it's through music, through relationship, through spoken word, whatever, that you just be glorified and that you'd have your way here in this church this morning, Father. So we thank you. We just give you all the glory, Father, in your name, God. Amen. Amen. So one of the things I like to do when visiting churches is I like to introduce myself, obviously, and share a little bit about my story and where I've come from. Also, I'd love to hear and to meet each of you. So we're just going to go around the room one by one and get each of you to introduce yourself. Just kidding. No, we're going to, how about on the count of three, you yell your name out. One, two, three. Oh, nice to meet you. So yeah, as I mentioned earlier, my name is Fraser. I come from Victoria. That's where I've been for the last 10 plus years. I'm on staff at a church there in Victoria. The church is called New Life. And it's a great church. I'm part-time, so I'm there a couple weeks of the month, and then I'm on the road a couple weeks of the month. And this is kind of what we do for ministry. I have a lovely wife. Her name is Bethany, and two kids. Cadence is 7 years old, and then my son Owen is 5 years old, and they're awesome kids. I really feel blessed with those guys in my life. My first music experience, actually stepping out and doing music on my own accord, like out of my own free will, I guess. And my dad wanted me to learn piano lessons when I was younger, so I took some of those, and I took a couple other instruments in school, like in band. But my first foray into music that I wanted to do was when I was about 17 years old, and it started when my friend Greg, who is a year older than I am, he came up to me and he said, "Fraser, you should learn how to play drums. You'd be a really good drummer." And what I didn't realize was that he was learning how to play guitar and he just wanted someone to play music with. So I don't know if he actually really believed in me or not, but I was like, "Oh, okay, sure, Greg. Okay." So I didn't have a drum kit, but we did have a bunch of buckets. So in my dad's workshop, we set up the bench. We set up like ice cream buckets, cottage cheese containers, jar lids, and we thought we had one real cymbal, and we thought we were really good. We weren't though. I saw some of them. I've recently looked back and heard some, one of the songs that it was horrible. We thought we were pretty great. And then one day I came to church on a Sunday evening. There was a Sunday evening service at our church at that time. And as I came up to the church, my friend Greg came running up to me out from the church, and he says, Fraser, the drummer called in sick this morning. You should ask if you could drum." I'm like, "Okay, sure, Greg." So up I marched to the front of the church where the worship team are sitting there getting ready. This is just a few minutes before the worship starts. And I said, "Hey, do you guys need a drummer this evening?" And they said, "Oh, Fraser, we didn't know you drummed." I didn't. So I don't know what worship team operates that way. I hope yours doesn't, because that's dangerous. And I sat down on those drums, and it wasn't very long before everyone in the church knew that I didn't know how to drum yet. And then music started, and I realized at that moment that I've never sat down and played one of these things before. There's these pedals. I don't know what these pedals do. And I think in panic, I just started hitting things. And you can see the worship leaders look like, "What have we done?"
there's five more songs. And so at that moment, I was faced with a decision. I could try to figure out how to play drums on the spot, or I could get up and run out of the church and probably never put my foot on a stage again. I would have been so scarred. It was horrible experience. Like, I know a lot of you fear, there's a lot of people that fear public speaking, but this was way worse than that. This was like public speaking in your underwear. That's what it felt like. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, but if I run out of this church right now, I will never come back and do this again. So I'm going to figure out how to do this. So I guess by the end of the sermon or the end of the worship service, I had figured out how to use a bass pedal and I had some kind of beat going. It wasn't very good. Like the pastor actually used me in a sermon illustration that day about people who try hard, but don't necessarily get it right away. You know, there's encouragement for you. but after that, I did get a real drum kit and I started learning how to drum. And when I moved to Victoria, that was in Vanderhoof. When I moved to Victoria, I started playing on the worship team there and eventually started playing guitar and got more involved in leading. And then down the road, became the worship pastor at the church. And so I'm still there today. I think I've been on staff for about 7 or 8 years now. And it's a joy to be there. It was about 4 or 5 years ago that I felt God was saying, you know, I'm going to open up some doors for you. And I said, okay, well, how is that going to look? So one of the things I felt like I was supposed to do was just invest in recording some music. And I said, okay, well, God, I'll do this. If you want to take it somewhere, you will. If not, that's fine. I'll have done what I could. And so I did. And the music started getting some traction on Christian radio in Canada, and we started traveling a bit more and leading worship. And then I guess it was a couple years ago, 2.5 years ago, I released a second album, and that one did really well. It started again doing really well on Christian radio in Canada and in the US. And so one of the songs was the one we sang today, the Light of the Night one. That one started doing really well. And so I was like, okay, God, this is awesome. And I felt he was taking us into the country of Canada, that we were really supposed to focus on Canada and the churches of Canada. So that's where we went. And it's been a really awesome ride. There was one morning where I was sitting down on the couch. And at this time, my son was about 3 years old. My daughter was at kindergarten and my wife was at work at the time. And so Owen was upstairs playing with his cars, and I'm on the couch, and I get this text, and the text says, "Congratulations." I said, "Oh, what's this about?" And then like 5 seconds later, I get another text from somebody else saying, "Congratulations." And as I said, "Whoa, what is going on here?" Finally, people are recognizing how good I am. That's awesome. I'll have to show these to my wife. Anyway, then another text comes in and it says, "Congratulations on the Juno nomination." And I said, "What?" And I kind of lost it because I really felt like God had been calling us to Canada and that we were looking for doors to open in Canada. And this was really, for those of you who don't know, the Junos are the Canadian version of the Grammys. So it's in music, it opens a lot of doors. So I got very excited and I ran upstairs screaming to Owen, and he was in shock as I ran upstairs. He was kind of like frozen with his cars. And I tried to explain what a nomination was to a 3-year-old. And so I went back downstairs and I called my wife at work. I said, she answered the phone. She said, "Bethany Campbell speaking. How can I help you?" Bethany, I got nominated for a Juno. And she's like, "I'm really happy for you, but I can't talk right now." So I tried calling my mom, and you know, when the phone rings and rings and they're obviously on the other line and they don't think your call's important enough to flash over. So that happened. And, so eventually just started calling random people that I hadn't talked to in a long time. Actually, the first person that actually picked up was Tim, our drummer. He's like, they're shaking his hand. Yeah. And then finally my mom called me back and she's like, "Oh, that's nice, dear." So I, fast forward a little bit. I went to, Winnipeg for the Junos, which was unfortunate. And just kidding. If anyone's from Winnipeg, I'm sorry. It's a lot of nice people in Winnipeg. Anyway, so we went there, my wife and I, and we there's a funny story from Winnipeg I'll tell you before I move on. We were, the night before the Junos, we were in the hotel room, and I get this email from some of the people in charge of the Junos, and they said, hey, you can have a limousine ride to the red carpet tomorrow. And I'm like, I show my wife, and she's like, oh, that's funny. How cool. Okay. But then right after that, another email comes in and it says, PS, you have to pay for it yourself. Classic Canadian. So, I'm like, well, scrap that. I'm not paying for a limousine. So in maybe a small form of rebellion, I went and rented a Fiat. If any of you don't know what a Fiat is, it's a small Italian car that's probably about the same size as this guitar. And my friend Jeremy, he's a drummer in Winnipeg, I called him. I said, Jeremy, would you be our chauffeur for the red carpet? Now, Jeremy has long dreadlocks. And he took this very seriously, though. So he went and bought a new suit. And no, he didn't buy a new suit. He got a suit, his nice suit, but he went and bought new white gloves. And he came to pick up Bethany and I in the Fiat, a little white, looked like a little white Italian toaster. That's what it looks like from the 60s. And so just to make things a little bit more fun, we decided to pick up another of the nominees in his date as well too. And so fast forward now to the red carpet. And if you can picture this with me, there's like red carpet and there's a lot of photographers and these limousines are pulling up and a limousine will pull up and these very fancy dressed people get out and walk down the red carpet and everyone's taking pictures and the limousine pulls away and another limousine pulls up and more fancy people get out and more pictures are taken. And then, around the corner comes this little white Fiat and it pulls up and you can see these photographers going, are they lost? And then Jeremy with his dreadlocks jumps out. And they're like, oh, yeah, they're lost. Anyway, Jeremy runs around the car and he opens the front door. And then, of course, he puts the hatchback seat down, right? Because we're all in the back. Like any true limousine ride would have us. Anyway, we start coming out of the car one by one. And it starts to look like the clown car, you know? People keep coming out, more and more of them. And I don't know how we all fit in that car. We came to the red carpet and everyone was laughing. It was a lot of fun and it was, yeah, they got that we were actually in the right place. We weren't lost. And, that was actually probably one of the highlights of the Junos. And obviously by that, you can probably tell I didn't win the Juno because that was the highlight of the Junos. But it was still a lot of fun. It was interesting because what we do as worship leaders and worshipers, that we do not do that for Juno nominations or anything like that. It's just not even, it's not on the chart really, but it was fun. We were in a whole different world. Like there were people in the music industry that were there to the schmooze with each other. And we just kind of just took it in and without fooling ourselves into thinking that this was our crowd or anything. Cause at heart, it's still what we do. I'm a worship leader from Victoria. And so you can kind of take these things in stride and say, okay, well, that's fun. But, really what my heart is still to see, worship happening in this country. And so up till now, I mean, that kind of brings us up to where we are now. And I'm here in Terrace with you. And we stopped here, in September and did a concert here on the Sunday evening. And it was great to connect. And of course, the relationships allowed us to come back and do this with you this morning. And I feel like there's been a lot of blessing in my life. I feel like God has really poured his blessing out on myself and giving me like a wonderful family, a job, a church. And I'm sure a lot of us can identify with these blessings. We have a lot of blessings in our life. But we would be lying to say that there aren't things in the life that are hard and difficult as well too. Some of them happen on a daily basis. Some of them are monumental and maybe completely derail our lives, maybe cause pain, maybe ongoing trouble. There's a lot of trouble in this broken world that we live in. And at one point, a few years back, I entered into a season that was really hard. And there's been a couple of those seasons, actually, really. And even right now, kind of just on the tail of something that's been just a journey that it's been hard. And there was times, especially earlier on, a few years back, where I was really struggling. And I was struggling with depression. I was struggling with discouragement. There were things in my life that were just kind of outright attacks, just the coincidence, you could say, or maybe not. Mistakes as well, too, contributed to things. And so just really feeling like some mornings I just did not want to get up. And there was one particular morning where I didn't want to. I had to go to a staff retreat for a church, and I had to lead worship at it. And I didn't even want to go because I knew that people would ask how I was doing, and I didn't want to share because I just was. So I almost called in sick, but I didn't. I went, and at the retreat, I was asked, "Well, how are you doing? Let's talk about how everyone's doing." And they asked Pastor Dan first, who speaks in quite a monotone voice. And he stood up and he said, "Well, I have to go to the bathroom." So he walked out of the room, and then they turned to me and said, "Okay, Fraser, how about you start then?" And I said, "Oh no." So, and I let things out and I shared, and it was a turning point, but there was a verse that kept coming to me during, this season. And this verse was, it's the verse where Jesus is meeting with his disciples and he talks to Peter, who was named Simon at one point. And he said, "Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. But I'm praying for you that your faith would not fail and that you will in turn strengthen your brothers." And Simon Peter thought this was ridiculous. He's like, "Oh no, And Jesus explained, you were going to deny me three times before you know it. And he did. And this verse just kept coming to me over and over and over again. And I had never really noticed it before this time. But at this point, I started kind of like thinking to myself, okay, this might be for me. I need to really look into this. And I started dissecting the verse, and the first part was says, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. And for anybody who doesn't know what the sifting process is like with wheat, it's a disturbance, right? It's a way to separate the good from the bad. And, if you consider yourself a grain of wheat, it wouldn't necessarily be a pleasant process to get, shuffled up and uncomfortable and removed from things that you're used to being with. And I realized that maybe that's something that I'm going through at this time. And I was up late one night. It was about 2 a.m, which isn't rare for me. I'm often up, but this night I was just kind of, I just had a lot on my shoulders, and I finally got to the point where it had been enough. So I kind of just cried out, and I grabbed my guitar actually and just started, singing, and these words came out, and I'm going to sing the song for you right now, actually. And the song is called "Take My World." And it just sings about how we walk in a world where there's these things that, these burdens that we're weighed with. And sometimes they're just far too heavy for our own shoulders to carry. And we need to give them over to someone who has stronger, more capable shoulders than our own. So this song started pouring out, and it actually hasn't changed since that day. And I'm going to sing it for you now, and maybe this resonates with you where you're at. Oh, the days, they grow dreary, and the miles, they come steep, and these burdens I carry, they overwhelm my feet. You promise aid to those in need. You promise rest for the weary. Take my world,
Take my world, take my world, it weighs too much for me. Take my world, take my world, take my world, it weighs too much for me. So I'm coming to a fountain that I've heard runs clear and deep, how it satisfies all thirsting and it washes filthy feet. You promise aid to those in need. You promise rest for the weary. Take my world, take my world, it weighs too much for me. Take my world, take my world, it weighs too much for me. Take my world, take my world, it weighs too much for me. Oh, 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 and don't fly away your pain, won't fly away your fears, won't fly away your thoughts of mine, won't fly away your tears, oh, and don't fly away your pain, won't fly away your fears, won't fly away your foes of mine, won't fly away your tears. Now the days, they seem brighter, and the road's not so long. I found peace, we found hope, and a joy that prompts our song. You promise aid to those in need. You promise rest for the weary. For the weary, oh, 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 for the weary.
Thanks. Yeah, so that kind of just poured out, and that was actually a really good start when that song kind of came out just poured out, because it was a chance for me to start getting honest with God and just crying out and saying, okay, God, I can't take this anymore. I need your help. And, as I continued to look at that scripture that I was mentioning, I read further and after Jesus had said, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, he said, I am praying for you that your strength would not fail and that you in turn strengthen your brothers. And so I looked at it a bit more and said, okay, well, then what was Peter facing? What was he going to be going through that might rattle his faith or be hard for him? And I don't think you have to look too far down the road to the point where he actually ended up denying Christ, as was predicted. And as if you think about that for a moment, and how if you had a best friend, someone that you were very close to, and you did something that really just betrayed them or broke their heart or denied them, maybe even unintentionally, but before you could do anything about it, they were taken off and you knew, or you at least thought, that you would never see them again. And then magnify that to make it like, you know, not only your best friend or someone who's close to you, but like the Son of God. how much that would have impacted Peter, because he didn't have a chance to just, you know, send up a prayer to Jesus. That wasn't who Jesus was to him at the time. Jesus was a person, a friend, a person that was with him, and Jesus was removed, and Peter had had the chance to stand with him, and he didn't. And scriptures talk about how after Jesus had been crucified and taken away, that Peter went back to fishing, back to what his old life was. And it wasn't until that meeting when Jesus, when they saw Jesus again, and Jesus asked Peter three times, he said, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" And there's that redemption there, right? That chance for things to be made right. But up till then, Peter was going through a very difficult time. But Jesus, you know, when he spoke to him before this, he could have said, you know, "Peter, you're going to go through a hard time, but I'm going to make it all better and you won't have to deal with it." But he didn't say that. He said, you know, your faith is going to be tested here, but I am praying for you that your faith would not fail you and that you would in turn strengthen your brothers. See, what Peter was about to go through was necessary for what his future was, his destiny was. Who would have thought it? The man that denied Christ three times would end up being like this foundation piece of the church, right? That he would lead this growth of the church after Jesus had come back and then returned to heaven. He was the guy. Yet, he needed to go through some things in order to make him ready for that. And the last thing maybe that he needed was to just to be pulled out of the training time. What he needed was to go through it. And it was a difficult and it was a painful time. And I started to realize that for myself, this was also true. That I was going through some things that were hard and that were difficult, but I had kind of lost hope and lost a bit of maybe confidence in God and his goodness. And I think it's easy to do that when we're in our trials and our struggles. It's easy to see those much closer to us than God's goodness or his faithfulness to us. And we can even question his love sometimes because of the circumstances in our lives. But I felt like maybe that was what I needed to share this morning, because maybe there are people here that are struggling with that. Maybe there are people that have maybe forgotten the goodness of God because of the circumstances of life. Maybe there's some of us who have hopes that have been choked out by things that are really difficult. And I'm not here trying to belittle the things that we're going through, because some of those things are difficult. Some of those things are lasting. Some of those things are seasons that we can't even see the end of yet. But what I want to encourage you with is the same thing that Jesus encouraged Peter with. And what I started to take encouragement in myself was that, you know, you may be going through a time of sifting. Jesus is there with you, even if you haven't seen the light of the end of the tunnel or the healing that you wanted or the hope that you needed. He's praying for you. There's purpose for what you're going through, as hard as that may be to hear. There's purpose for it, and that one day you're going to be able to encourage your brothers and your sisters. And I want to encourage you in that. You're not disqualified. You're not too broken. You're not beyond hope. You're not beyond healing. But whatever you're going through, let us continue to look to God, because he is good. He is still faithful. And this life isn't even the end all, right? Like, this is just a temporary place. And sure, pain counts. It does hurt. But he's working stuff in us that is for this life and beyond. And he is faithful, and he is good.